food, garden, holidays, a clean home, a healthy home, all right here, right now. The Morbid Homemakers podcast, now available for download on iTunes. Well, hello. I want to welcome all of you to this very special edition of the Morbid Homemakers podcast. We are talking today all about autumn baking. It's probably one of my favorite things to do all year long. It's definitely, I love spring gardening. It's one of my favorite weeks, you know, is that week when I first get out into the garden from the exhausting winter that we've had, especially last year. But, you know, in the fall and autumn season, it is definitely autumn baking is what I'm best at. And I can't wait to share some of my favorite recipes with you, which is what we're going to do here. Hopefully in under 20 minutes, we'll do our very best, but no promises. So I figured we'd talk about three delicious autumn recipes. They are all available on my blog. You can go to themorbidhomemaker.wordpress.com, and that's my blog. You can find all the recipes there that we're talking about in today's episode. Or you can go to, typically go to MarthaStewart.com only because they are the best recipes that these are tried and true. It's not like I'm just whipping these out. These are family favorites. I made them once and it's been on the Thanksgiving menu ever since. It's make sure you bring this, this, and this, you know, and come rain or sun, snow or sleet, whatever. These three dishes are definitely on our Thanksgiving table, and I give them to friends all holiday season long, and friends just love them. They just are the requested, you know, don't get me a Christmas gift. Just give me your apple pie. Good. And they're made with quality ingredients, which really, especially in baking, is so important. So don't skimp on the ingredients when, you know, something asks for a vanilla bean or fresh cranberries. Make sure you go out and get that. Even if you're unfamiliar with it, the recipes are, they explain everything in such clear detail that you really can't go wrong as long as you listen to it, you know, and don't improvise. Some things are okay to improvise, but baking is a science. It really is a science, and it's been tested, and they're tested for a reason, so they are going to work when you do it. But especially with this one, I'm talking right now about the New England-styled cranberry duff. And if you've never heard of it, it's sort of like an upside-down cake, but it features cranberries instead of pineapples. And it has cranberries, toasted pecans, and like this, it's just wonderful. It serves six, so you might need to make one or two of these things, depending on how many guests there will be. Not everybody loves cranberries, but I promise you, they're going to be a fan of the cranberry after you make this. It's a good substitute to have if you don't want to have cranberry sauce on your Thanksgiving table because it's instant. It comes from the can. It doesn't have to be instant, though. It is just especially delicious when it's fresh. If people have had the instant version, cranberry is just permanently tarnished. Once they've had it, they never want to have it again. It's disgusting. Who would want it from the can? God knows how long it's been sitting in the can. But anyway, this cranberry duff serves six. And what you're going to need for this is a half a cup of unsalted butter, which is one stick, and it needs to be softened. You're going to need 1.5 cups of fresh cranberries, 1/3 cup of pecans, which are coarsely chopped, preferably toasted, 1/3 cup plus 1/2 cup of sugar, 1 large egg, make sure it's organic and cage-free, and 1/2 cup of all-purpose flour. Also, make sure it's organic. King Arthur flour is the best flour for baking. And 1/4 teaspoon, of course, salt. Now, this recipe, like I said, is from Martha Stewart. It's from, actually, one of the first issues I ever read of her magazine. It's from November 2005, and I instantly fell in love with this recipe. That's how long I've been using it, for 5 years. This will be the 5th year of making it, and it's still just delicious. And pretty much what you want to do with this, and I'm going to read this pretty much verbatim, you know, you want to preheat your oven to 325 degrees. Preheating is so essential. Don't put anything, none of your baked goods in a cold oven. Make it cold, bake it hot. That's a big, 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 great essential tip to use. Preheat your oven to 325 degrees. Make sure you butter the bottom and halfway up the sides of an 8-inch square glass baking dish using 2 tablespoons of butter. I'm going to emphasize here that you do not use, especially when you're cooking with any kind of fruit or berry, always, always, always use a glass or non-reactive baking dish. A Pyrex baking dish is perfect. If you use metal, they can sometimes make the fruit a little bit acidic and bitter, and you don't want that, especially when you're trying to woo people over with your cranberry dish. Right. So then you spread cranberries evenly over the bottom of the butter dish, and you sprinkle pecans on the top, and then you sprinkle with a third cup of sugar, and then you set it aside. Okay, so now you're going to make the cake. So you want to melt the remaining 6 tablespoons of butter in a saucepan over medium-low heat, and you're going to set that aside. You're going to put the egg and the remaining half cup of sugar in the bowl of an electric mixer, or you can do this by hand, but you want to put this in the electric mixer with the whisk attachment, and you want to beat it on medium speed until pale and thick, which is about a minute. Reduce speed to medium-low, gradually beat in your flour, and then add your salt. Pour in melted butter in a slow, steady stream. Beating until smooth. And then you're going to want to slowly pour your batter into the pan to cover those cranberries. It's not a lot of batter that's going to go over top, but it's fine. It bakes up. Bake until golden brown, and a cake tester is inserted in the center and comes out clean about 45 minutes. Let it cool on a wire rack. Run a knife around the edge to loosen. Very important. I'm going to repeat that. You're going to want to run your paring knife or a sharp knife around the edge of your pan and your cake to loosen the cake. And you're going to want to invert to and mold onto a serving platter. So have your serving platter ready. Put the serving platter on top of your glass baking dish. Get your hands underneath that baking dish and underneath your plate. Hold it all with one grip and just flip it over really quick, being sure that your platter and your cake don't go all over the floor. But it works every time. I should do a video on this on my Facebook. Anyway, and then you're going to want to serve warm or at room temperature. I've served it warm with just delicious homemade ice cream, or I've served it at room temperature as well, and it's delicious either way. If you make this on Thanksgiving Day and you have a little bit of fresh cranberry sauce and your loved one's going or has to work on Black Friday, make them a delicious Thanksgiving sandwich. I pretty much just add whatever was on the Thanksgiving table. I add a little bit of turkey, and I put stuffing on top of that, and I put, you know, lettuce and a little bit of my cranberry sauce and just a tad bit of gravy, and I wrap it in a wrap. I make a Thanksgiving wrap. And then I give them a piece of whatever was left over. And in this case, you can give them a delicious piece of your New England style cranberry duff. And it's just really great. And it's good all throughout the holiday season because cranberries are now available locally all through the holiday season, from now until the holiday season's over. So make sure you go out and buy those fresh cranberries, which are in the bag at your supermarket now. And now that we've gotten done talking about cranberries, we're going to move on to pumpkin, another great and delicious fall grown and harvested treat. And, you know, whenever you've had pumpkin, most likely you've had it in a baked good. You've had pumpkin pie, you've had pumpkin rolls filled with the most delicious cream cheese. You've had pumpkin souffles, possibly maybe pumpkin ice cream, pumpkin spice lattes, but I'm not kidding. Once you've had these pumpkin cookies with brown butter icing, you're never going to ever crave those artificial pumpkin sweeteners again. You're going to want to have these cookies on your Thanksgiving table at your next fall entertaining event because they are going to be scooped up and taken away and requested time after time after time that you make them and you bring them, even when they're out of season. It'll be the middle of summer and someone will say, oh, bring those pumpkin cookies. And you have to say, I'm sorry. You're going to have to wait a couple months because they're just not in season. But for this, I've used the canned variety. Very good. Very good. And this makes 6 dozen, so it does serve a good bit. Anyway, for the cookies, you're going to need 2 3/4 cups of the all-purpose King Arthur flour, 1 teaspoon of fresh baking powder. Make sure it's fresh or it's not going to work. It's inexpensive enough that if you even in doubt, always buy new. 1 teaspoon of baking soda. Also, make sure it's fresh. It should be replaced every 6 months or so. 1.5 teaspoons of ground cinnamon. 1 1/4 teaspoons of coarse salt. I use the kosher salt. You can even use sea salt for this. Make sure it's grated, but it still has that coarseness to it. And 1 1/4 teaspoons of ground ginger. You're going to need 3/4 teaspoons of ground nutmeg. Freshly grated nutmeg is the best for this. 3/4 cups, which is 1.5 sticks of unsalted butter, which has been softened. 2 1/4 cups of packed light brown sugar. 2 large eggs. 1.5 cups of canned solid packed pumpkin. Told ya. Which is 14 ounces. And 3/4 cups of evaporated milk, which also comes in a can. Also suitable to use for a canned good. And 1 teaspoon of pure vanilla extract. Do not use the imitation. Make sure it is the pure vanilla extract. And you're going to want to make the cookies. You're going to want to preheat your oven to 375 and whisk the flour, baking powder, baking soda, salt, cinnamon, ginger, and nutmeg together in a medium bowl and set them aside. You can sift it if you want to, but the whisk does the job for you. And these cookies are just the most moist and delicious and soft cookies you're ever going to have. You're going to put butter and the brown sugar in a bowl of an electric mixer fitted with a paddle attachment. Mix this on medium speed until pale and fluffy, which takes about 3 minutes. Mix in the eggs and reduce the speed to low. Add the pumpkin, evaporated milk, and vanilla. Mix until well blended, which is about 2 minutes. And then you're going to add your flour mixture and mix until combined. And I want to emphasize that when you are incorporating those liquidy ingredients, that you do add them, you turn the mixer on low. Unless you want pumpkin deliciousness spread all over your kitchen cabinets. Been there, done that, moved on. So anyway, after all that is combined, you're going to want to transfer 1.5 cups of the batter to a pastry bag, which is fitted with a 1/2 inch plain tip, which is like number 806 if it's an Atico tip. But any plain tip will do. But make sure it's about 1/2 inch opening. And you're going to want to pipe 1.5 inch rounds onto parchment lined baking sheets, spacing 1 inch apart. You can also use the silpats for the parchment paper if you don't have parchment. Bake cookies. You can rotate the sheets halfway through until top springs back. So until the tops, spring back on the cookies, that's what you're going to want to bake them until it happens, which takes about 12 minutes. So rotate the cookie 6 minutes through its cooking cycle and then bake for an additional 6 and take them out after 12 minutes. They should be good to go. Cool on sheets on wire racks for 5 minutes. Transfer cookies to wire racks and let cool completely, which takes, you know, an additional 10 to 15 minutes, but they are so good. And then you're going to make the icing. And for the icing, you're going to need 4 cups of confectioner sugar sifted. Make sure you do sift that. You don't want a clumpy icing. And if you don't sift your confectioner sugar, you're going to have little clumps in your icing. 10 tablespoons, which is 1.25 sticks of unsalted butter. 1/4 cup plus 1 tablespoon of evaporated milk and 2 teaspoons of pure vanilla extract. And for the icing, you're going to put the confectioner sugar in a large bowl and set that aside. Melt the butter in a small saucepan over medium heat. Cook, swirling the pan occasionally until golden brown. This is that browned butter icing. So that's why you want to swirl the butter until it gets golden brown. It's completely normal and it tastes delicious. Immediately add the butter to the confectioner sugar, scraping any browned bits from sides and bottom of the pan. Add evaporated milk and vanilla, stir until smooth, spread about 1 teaspoon of icing onto each cookie. If icing stiffens, stir in more evaporated milk, a little at a time, because you can always add 2, but you can't take away, so it's good to start small and then add more. And the cookies can be stored in single layers in airtight containers at room temperature for up to 3 days. So if you are planning a great big Thanksgiving feast, this can be done on, you know, Monday or Tuesday night, and they will stay just as fresh as long as they're stored properly. And they are just so delicious. I hope you enjoy these pumpkin cookies with brown butter icing. Our last dessert that we're going to talk about today is the classic antique apple pie. Again, this recipe is on MarthaStewart.com. And first, we're going to talk about the pie crust that you need to make. This is enough pie crust for this pie. It's a double crust 9-inch pie. And that's just so great for any autumn baking, that extra crust. You know, the crust is my favorite part of the pie. And it always helps when the inside is good, too. But, you know, extra crust. The more crust, the better. And in this case, this pie definitely provides on the crust factor. So you need 2.5 cups of all-purpose organic flour, 1.5 teaspoons of salt, 1 teaspoon of sugar, 8 ounces or 2 sticks of cold unsalted butter cut into 1/2-inch cubes, and 1/3 cup plus 2 teaspoons of ice water. And make sure you have all of these ingredients very cold. So if you get your cut or your flour, your salt, and your sugar measured out, make sure you put that right into the refrigerator. It sounds weird, but if you make it cold and bake it hot, you are going to have a very flaky pie crust, which is just an essential. You don't want a soggy pie crust. So this is great. I mean, great tip, and make sure you follow it. And all these recipes will be on my blog at themorbidhomemaker.wordpress.com, and they're also always available on marthastewart.com. You just have to search for them. Anyway, so you want to pulse the flour, salt, and sugar in a food processor until combined, which is why I like this pie crust recipe. It's so easy to make. You're going to add the butter and process until mixture resembles coarse meal or coarse crumbs, about 10 seconds. With the machine running, add the ice water in a slow, steady stream until mixture just begins to hold together. Now, I want to emphasize that you might only need the third cup of the ice water. You might need a little bit more than that, but you shouldn't need more than the third cup plus 2 teaspoons of ice water. Basically, you want to just add enough water so that this pie crust holds itself together. You don't want a wet pie crust. Again, you'll have a soggy pie crust if your pie crust is made too wet. After that, you're going to shape the dough into 2 discs, wrap each disc in plastic wrap, and refrigerate for 1 hour up to 2 days. And then you're going to use it. You just roll it out and use it as instructed. You can also freeze this pie crust. So maybe 1 weekend night or 1 weekend day or maybe 1 weeknight even, that you're not very busy and you know you're going to be making a lot of pies this season, or you've perfected your pie making skills, you think, and you're going to be making lots and lots of pies. Go ahead and make these. They last for up to 1 month in the freezer. So if you know that you're going to be making, you know, pies and things around Thanksgiving and come Christmas, you can freeze these things ahead of time. And just make sure you label them and date them on the bag. And they store in freezer bags. But again, wrap them in plastic wrap first. So that takes care of the pie crust. You have that made. It's chilling in the refrigerator, and now we're going to get that out. And for the pie itself, this pie serves 8 to 10. It's a 9-inch pie. You'll need 3.5 pounds, or about 8 heirloom apples. And that's what makes this antique pie so classic, is that it's using heirloom apples. We're fortunate that we live in the area that we do, because a lot of our orchards provide on offering an array of apples that most people and most supermarkets don't care or have never even heard of. And these apples are known as Arkansas Black, Caviole Blanc, Carpathian, Jonathan, Knobbed Russet, or even the Northern Spy. If you don't have an orchard near you or a farmer's market that you don't frequently visit too often, you can go to the supermarket and go to the organic section and just select a tart cooking apple. There are so many that are good for pies. And I suggest you use them. And then you're going to need 1/4 cup of the all-purpose organic flour, plus more for the surface when you roll out your pie, 1/2 cup of granulated sugar, 2 tablespoons of fresh lemon juice. Do not buy it off, but from the bottle, use a fresh lemon, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 1 vanilla bean split and scraped, pod reserved for another use. I've talked about having this kind of thing on hand. This is a good recipe that you're going to use those vanilla beans for. I've talked about that in my baking tips podcast episode. If you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, you should go download it. It's available now on iTunes. We're going to need 1 tablespoon of cold unsalted butter cut into 1/4-inch pieces, and 1 large egg yolk, 2 tablespoons of heavy cream. Don't substitute. Get the heavy cream, and 2 tablespoons of sanding sugar. So it's not the most calorically friendly pie, but it definitely brings the taste to the table. And it is very tasty and just delicious. And here's the instructions. On a lightly floured surface, roll 1 disc of pâte brisée, or the pie crust, to 1/8 inch thickness. Fit into a 9-inch deep dish pie plate. Trim the edges, leaving a 1-inch overhang. Freeze the pie until firm, about 15 minutes. Roll remaining disc of dough into a 12-inch circle, about 1/8 inch thick. Transfer to a parchment-lined baking sheet and freeze until cold and firm, about 15 minutes. It's very important to freeze your pies, your pie crusts, before you bake them, because you want to make it cold and bake it hot. That's what gives you the flakiness. That's what gives you that 5-star grade A quality pie crust. And then you're going to want to peel and core your apples, and then cut them into 1/2-inch to 1-inch chunks. and place them in a medium bowl. You're going to add your flour, granulated sugar, lemon juice, salt, cinnamon, and vanilla seeds, and toss. Place apple mixture in prepared pie dish and dot with butter. Center dough round over apples and tuck overhang under edge of bottom dough. Using your fingers, gently pinch dough along edge to seal. Using a paring knife, cut 8 2.5-inch vents in dough to let the steam escape. Freeze the pie until firm. This takes about 2 hours. Do not skip this step. If you want your pie, that second crust on your pie to be really, like give you that dome effect, you need to freeze your pie. Otherwise, it's just going to sink down and bake down with your apples. So if you freeze that ahead of time, when you bake it and when it comes out of the oven, it still has that dome effect. It looks so full of apples, and you know, until you cut in, then you don't see that the apples have actually baked down into the pie, but the crust has stayed elevated. It's just such a wonderful effect. It definitely gives you that magazine appearance to your pie. Preheat your oven to 425 degrees. Mix the yolk and cream in a small bowl and gently brush over the dough. This is what gives you that golden crust color on your pie. And this also, it doesn't really make your pie crust flaky, but it gives you that golden appearance. Also great for aesthetics. And then you're going to want to sprinkle your pie with sanding sugar. This just adds a little bit of glistening and a little bit of crunch to when you actually eat your pie. Place the dish on a rimmed baking sheet and bake for 15 minutes. Reduce the heat to 375 degrees and bake until the crust is golden brown and juices are bubbling. And this is typically, the juices are bubbling right over the vents of that crust, and sometimes over the edges, and that is 60 to 75 minutes. You're going to want to bake that in a 375-degree oven. And then after that, you're going to transfer your pie to a wire rack and let cool. And this is the antique apple pie that I have made for years, and I will make it for years to come. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this week's podcast. I hope you enjoyed our segments on autumn baking, and I hope that I have inspired some or all of you to go into your kitchens this autumn and bake up the most delicious treats for you, your friends, and your family to enjoy. You can follow me on Twitter, and that is at twitter.com/thecleanhome. That's the_clean_home. You can Facebook me at Brian Utz, and I hope you all enjoy your week. On the next show, we'll be playing mixologist using Blavod's black vodka just in time for Halloween night. We'll be giving out recipes, great ideas for garnishes that are so creepy your guests will scream at the sight of your cocktail, along with wonderful serving suggestions to make sure that your Halloween bash is a huge success. So join us next week, right here at the Morbid Homemakers Podcast, exclusively for download on iTunes. Have a great week.